The greatest invention of all was beer.
Once thought of as a down-to-earth drink, these days beer has gotten fancy, with small brewers making what's known as craft beer.
It's beer! Craft beer!
I'm now proud to call myself a beer nerd.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure.
Well, God created beer. That's why I'm sitting here. Sitting in the junction bar, I'm too drunk to drive my car.
A very special episode 15 of the Louisville Beer Podcast. I'm your host, John Wirth.
15 means it's legal.
That's John King, if you guys don't know his voice by now. And again, we've got Mr. Scott Lichen.
And 15 seconds if you're Rick Pitino. It went down my leg.
Wow.
So yeah, how's it going?
Good. It seems like it's been forever since we've been all three in the studio.
Yeah.
I've done a couple podcasts by myself, the little intros for our interview segment.
When you say podcast, what do you mean?
I do like the fact that the beer from our last podcast is still in the trash can.
That's pretty sad.
Dan's not happy with the cleanliness of the room after our podcast, I don't think.
Yeah, well, we need to grow up a little bit.
We do. I'll vacuum after this.
Okay, please do. Who's that laughing over there? Well, that's Mr. Sam J. Cruz from Against the Grain. What's up, Sam?
Oi.
Oi.
Yeah. What's the J stand for?
Yeah, I'd like to know that, too.
Jose.
Jose?
Really? Nice.
For real. Cruz.
I love it.
Nice.
Cruz. Wow. Jose Cruz.
Yeah. Can we just start calling you Jose?
Me amo Samuel.
Easy, big fella.
So, Sam, you have any events coming up at Against the Grain? Let's talk about our calendar of events here. Hold on 1 second. I've got new stingers this week.
It's the beer calendar.
I'm gonna have to put headphones on just so I can hear
it. You want to hear it again? Let's play.
Yeah, I'm sure our fans love that.
It's the beer calendar.
Ah, yes, that's the beer calendar.
That's nerdy as shit. What is wrong with you?
Is what that is. Isn't that what the kids say? The bomb.
Have you been at home all weekend, like creating shit for this podcast?
I was excited for doing the podcast since it's been a while, so okay. I did those this afternoon.
Dig it.
Sorry.
So
it's good, John.
What's on your beer calendar?
You did a good job.
Okay, Monday of this week, which this comes out Tuesday.
So yesterday.
Monday we'll start a Toys for Tots drive where if you come in, bring a toy that is new and unopened and appropriate for children.
I was just waiting for you to stop talking.
And you drop that appropriate toy in the box. The Toys for Tots box.
Yeah. Actually, I saw the box down there yesterday. It's an awesome box.
Yeah. And
I may drop something in it.
You get it. Do your best, man. We we'll give you a raffle ticket. You're entered in a raffle for a Bo and Luke bottle. So we've got exactly 1.5 cases left of the original Bo and Luke, and we're raffling those bottles off for the kids for Christmas. So don't be a dick.
Yeah,
go get a toy, however cheap it may be, unopened and new, not
sex. So there's
sex.
Not a limit, like $10 limit?
No.
No, butt plugs out there, guys, is what he's saying.
Bring that shit down and throw it in our box, and you might get a bottle of beer for it.
Sweet.
Also, that evening, on Wednesday, I'll put on Bo and Luke on draft. So,
awesome.
Come get your drinks there, too.
What time are you going to have that on?
Man, I don't know.
Like 3 o'clock, get there before I go to work at the tap room.
3 o'clock.
There you go.
I'll be there.
That's how easy it is.
Can we put it through a Randall? Can we Randall it with anything?
For what? For what reason would you do that?
I don't know.
Okay. What? No. What would you like to Randall it through?
Yeah, John.
Strawberries.
Yay. Okay.
So that's the only event coming up.
Whatever.
ATG.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 12 Ales of Christmas started on December 12th over at Buckhead Mountain Grill, both locations.
Right on.
You been over there yet, Scott?
I have not. I was trying to catch the 23 over there since my car's been down.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
I've missed it every time it's came down through the Highlands.
Is that in Indiana?
They're both locations. So, yeah, one in Indiana and one right over here at Gardner Lane Shopping Center.
Don't go to that part of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got some great Christmas beers on. Bell's Winter White, Sierra Nevada Celebration, Goose Island 6 Day. Yes, Goose Island, I just said. Three Floyds Alpha Clubs.
We're actually drinking a Goose Island 2012 Bourbon County right now.
Some
High Life.
Yeah.
Yes, the champagne of beers did make its appearance.
Go local or go home, big boys.
Earth is my local.
So they're doing glassware nightly at 5 p.m. over at Buckhead. No glass on the 18th, it looks like. But yeah, it's a great event. Lots of Christmas beers, which you don't really like, do you, Scott?
I don't know. It depends. Like, you know, it seems like Christmas beers have changed maybe a little bit. People are changing the way. Because I've had a lot of Christmas. I don't like spicy Christmas beers, mm-hmm. but I've had a lot of beers, more Christmas beers this year that I like than I've had in the past.
That's kind of me and pumpkin beers. I always say I don't like pumpkin beers, but I've had like five that I really like.
Speaking of
open your free your mind, dude, and the rest will follow. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Christmas beers, we have a whole table full of
blindfolds.
I think these are your wife's unmentionables because they're very silky.
And smell them. The one is see through.
Ooh, they smell like cotton candy.
Well, why don't you guys strap those on your eyeballs? Because I came prepared.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened since we've been here before, last. We had the Highlands Beer Fest.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I missed that.
You were in Nashville at the Winter Warmer, right?
I was at the Nashville at the Winter Warmer. Nice. Easily the best lineup at a beer fest I've ever saw. What else has happened? We had the in-store event.
That seemed awesome. And interviews from both on the podcast. That's why we haven't been here in fucking forever.
Yeah, so it's been a lot going on.
Whirlwind. Whirlwind.
Fucking nuts, dude.
Yes.
So King's already strapping his blindfold on.
He's fine. He's ready to party.
I can't see the mic.
Now he's just waiting for the chick to enter with the strap on.
This, and unfortunately, this is not the Windy Wonder podcast. Oh!
Sorry, John. You may want to look at the edit time on that. I'm just saying.
This blindfold makes me think of Ernest, who is a Kentucky alum.
You would.
Ernest Worrell.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
You don't know who Ernest P. Worrell is?
Oh, yeah.
Ernest goes to camp.
Yes, Vern. Yes, Ern.
He's Ernest, not Vern.
But he talked Ernest. To Vern. Yes, of convenience store.
The Importance of Being Ernest, one of my favorite books.
Nice.
It's about him, right?
Maybe we have him on the podcast. Wait, he's dead.
Maybe so.
Jim Varney's actually his name.
There used to actually be a University
Ernest
of
Kentucky. Ernest is dead?
He's been dead for probably 10 years.
Yeah, he's been dead. There used to be a University
of... We'll pour a high life out for Ernest in here tonight.
There was a University of Kentucky scholarship for Jim Varney, and then they got rid of it.
That's sad.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's do this blind tasting. Tonight we've got NABC Naughty Claus Christmas Ale, the Wessex Christmas Ale, Against the Grain Santa Came Early. Great name, by the way, Sam.
That's the only reason we have this beer.
Yeah, just for the name. 100%
you
came up with the
reason.
Name first. And a very special beer, which I will announce after this tasting. I want you guys to guess what it is.
Is it the one that you're wearing a sweatshirt and have glasses you're drinking out of?
No, it's not that.
Is it the one you posted on Facebook?
Scott Likens posted that.
I will say right now that John Worth's wearing a pearl snap button shirt with it halfway open down.
Yeah. I'm styling. I'm sorry.
Oh. All right. Let's do this.
You're
let's
just jealous.
Do I need to? Do I know which beer is mine?
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I'm okay.
That's all right. All right. Yeah. We all probably do because it's the one that smells like a peppermint.
Stick. Peppermint.
Yeah. You've got one for everything, don't you, Sam?
Santa came
Scott
early.
Likens needs to put his on.
Yeah. Strap on, Scott. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Be a team player.
My only problem is I don't know where the microphone is, so if it looks like I'm eating it.
Right. John, we're used to that. The kind of fucked up thing here is these are all in the same cup.
Okay, I just took...
I mean, why do we need a blindfold?
I haven't got my blindfold on yet, but I'm looking at you, Sam.
Do you have
Sam,
your dick out?
So this
is weird. I don't think I'm putting this
on. How many cups? Do we have three guys in one cup? What does this turn into? No one's going to be pooping on me, are they?
No, but I like that you guys are blindfolded, and I'm not, because I can take pictures of all this insanity. All right, let's start with cup A. Here we go.
You're going to have to, put it in our hands.
Yeah,
oh,
that's fine.
It's so... It's soft.
Sam, right here.
It's a little sweaty.
Don't drink it yet.
Okay. I hope we don't spill shit all over Dan's stuff in here, man.
Cup A for you, John King.
This is too much beer.
It is. Yeah, I kind of gave it a big pour.
I mean,
he gave me nothing.
All right, so take a whiff.
I don't smell anything.
I don't smell anything either.
Really?
I smell spice.
Mm-hmm.
Smell coriander.
This
nutmeg,
is Tabasco sauce.
Cinnamon.
Ghost pepper sauce.
Now, what do you want me?
I don't know. We'll go through all of them, and you can pick.
I've already finished my beer.
I have no idea what this is.
Yeah. Do you like it?
It's got kind of a little vegetable-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little vegetable.
Okay.
There's just a little bit of spice, but I chugged it.
Is it not over the top spicy, Scott?
No, not at all.
So that's spicy. Good in your opinion, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
It's medium spice to me. I don't, of course, don't give a goddamn about these kind of beers. So.
You don't really?
I don't either. I don't really don't like the style. Yeah.
So this is Christmas.
There's one. Let's go.
Oh, you know what? Shit.
Who did that? Okay.
I totally forgot. I was gonna do this. This podcast is getting fancy.
It is. If that chick in the red bikini's here, I want to take this blindfold off right now.
All right, here is Cup B. All
right,
this one's fucking awesome. I can smell it.
Holy shit.
This smells minty, fresh. It's a refreshing yet...
Minty and fresh.
Like, okay. This smells like bag hair.
Chocolate.
Wait, is that my cue, Scott? Hold on.
Yeah. What's your cue?
Smells it's very good. Chocolatey, minty.
Smells like Andy's mint.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very chocolatey, very minty. I don't. This is pretty tasty.
But it's not a typical Christmas ale, I say.
Definitely not.
Yeah. What's not typical, fucker?
Like super spicy Christmas
nutmeg
ale.
And
this is like an Andy's. Where's the mic?
So when's.
That's Scott's.
Did nutmegs become more Christmassy than mint?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
I think this is a good representation. I mean, it's chocolatey. It gets away from all the Christmas. It's like Andy's. I love it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to cup number C. Can I say number C?
Santa came.
Easy there, John King.
Look, I can
stack
the cup.
Pretty fucking tasty, man. I really like that.
Here's cup C, John King. Right there.
I can tell you which ones are which now. Easily.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the options are.
Don't ruin it.
Is there a cup number D?
Yes, there is.
I can spill some spices with this one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's a big one. Spicy.
It's like this one.
Yeah. That microphone? Yeah.
Holy shit. Ivan. That's a lot of spice.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like I licked the bottom of my spice cabinet.
What the fuck?
Have you done that before?
Only when I've been really...
Only when told.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes,
you get told that a lot over there,
mistress.
It's I like it. It's like a party in my mouth, and everyone's invited.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good. It's tasty.
Especially
I don't know
Scott's balls.
Would you drink a can of it, Scott?
A can of it?
Probably not. I would not want to drink like a whole can of this. Not that it's bad. It's just not my thing. You know.
Yeah, it'd be a. It's good for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like
it smells terrible.
No, Sam has moved on to cup D.
All right, give me cup.
Oh God, D cup. I want D cup.
Here's a D cup.
Put them D cups in my face.
A special note to listeners: Christmas Ale D is actually a blend that I put together. It's Sterling beer, cloves, ground nutmeg, cardamom, pumpkin pie spice, and cinnamon. So let's see how the guys like my concoction. Here we go, D cup. Scott Likens, right here.
It's fucking cinnamon. Cinnamon and beer.
I was going to say, Jesus, what is this?
It's garbage.
Holy
is it
shit.
Good?
No, it's shit ass.
Really? This is a national brand.
Shit ass.
It's fucking shit ass is what it is.
This smells it's like cinnamon.
Brand.
Let me get my
hashtag
highlight to wash
shit
that
ass.
Shit down.
is that cinnamon water? Is that like...
That is...
Can we take it off now?
Sterling beer mixed with cloves, ground nutmeg, cardamom...
This is a for real beer.
Pumpkin pie spice.
This is a for real
and
beer.
Cinnamon. Look at my phone. Made in my kitchen right before this podcast.
Good God. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That's why I made you wear the blindfolds.
And
I tasted it before I left.
Did you like it?
Dump it.
It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That sucks.
So,
oh God.
With D being out.
Throw these on the floor.
With D being out, which one did you guys like the best? Scott. We'll start with Scott.
I liked easily the ATG beer.
Okay.
Yeah, Santa
you
came
knew,
early.
You knew which one
I had it yesterday. I liked it. I just of the three choices, I liked it the best.
Okay, John King.
I have to go. Not to stroke Sam off because he's sitting right next to me.
And I'm not stroking Sam off at all by saying that. I'm just saying.
When it comes to traditional Christmas style, I like the West 6, but if I had to drink a whole pint snifter, it would have been the Santa Came Early.
Okay. And Sam?
I gotta say this, okay? Because our beer is peppermint laden, it needs not be compared to the other two.
Right.
As far as Christmas beers go, it is.
I agree.
Is,
I think the Wessex was way more true to the Christmas style for me. What I think Christmas beer.
Of the two,
and it wasn't bad. I just couldn't drink a whole can of that.
The Wessex is maybe spiced more mild, but you know, I don't know. When I drink a Christmas beer like that, I'm all in. You know, it's basically just I want to enjoy the experience and. Any amount of spice, frankly, is too much to me. But yeah. But if I'm drinking one of these, then they're both adequately spiced, I think. I will say this, though. For being such a big beer, West 6 has such little body.
Which one?
The West 6 beer. It's supposed to be like 9%.
See, yeah, I thought the body was great on it. I thought it was very good.
I think New Albanians has a bigger, more robust body than that. So... I like New Albanian's mouthfeel and body. The spicing, I like being toned down. I mean, they're both fucking fine examples of a beer that I don't like, though. Yeah,
no. Can you explain a little more how the mouthfeel of New Albanian, how's it feel in your mouth? Can you explain that a little bit?
I see what he's doing. But
when you
there,
say
Sam,
New
don't
Albanian,
answer that.
Feel in your mouth, is that Dave Pierce?
Put the blindfold
in your mouth?
On and I'll show you. But, let's make this an experiential thing.
So no one likes D. We can narrow D down, right?
Yeah. I like Sterling on its own. But
I brought some Sterling.
I like it as a standalone beer, but I definitely don't care for it having someone's dick dropped in it. And
yeah, well, sorry for that, guys. Thanks for being good sports.
Do we get anything for participating in this?
A Sterling unopened.
Are we
going to
drink that?
No, we just did. We just had some.
Well, but it was... Tainted by my
taint. I didn't
tainted
even say
by
it,
spices.
Man.
I know.
How about that cap?
It's pretty. Yeah. The cans are awesome. They pull off and drink like a pint of beer.
When was the last time you pulled one off?
Well, to make your Christmas beer. See?
Oh, yeah. It was chunky.
Santa came early.
Again.
And I wore the suit with a zipper mouth.
Shamu.
So, Sam, you agreed to sponsor the LouisvilleBeer.com reader survey, which is awesome.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
He did?
You did? What? What are we talking about?
Is this breaking news? Because that's the first I've heard of it.
Breaking news.
Hold on. Let me get my breaking news stinger.
Yeah.
The Louisville Beer reader survey is going online next week. LouisvilleBeer.com/survey. I'm just trying to get a feel for what people like to read, what they want more of.
A feel.
Yeah.
Please do it, people. They need it.
Yeah. And
yeah. We do. Please. We need all the guidance and help we can.
Not about the podcast. Everyone knows.
No, the podcast is great.
But, it's this other bullshit we're doing.
Yeah. But you have a chance to win a Grainiacs membership.
Yes.
From Against the Grain. So tell us.
And that includes a... an official Against the Grain t-shirt, logoed, size of my choice.
Not one of those unofficial ones.
Not one of the bootlegs.
So you could be a chick and win a 3X, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Out of Sam's closet.
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Stains. It might have BBC on it as well.
It might.
No.
Chugging beer.
Yeah, you get an official Against the Grain logoed shirt and also a logoed glass. I just brought in straight-sided pint glasses, so we might start doing those as well.
Nice.
And you also, the gift that keeps on giving is the card. And essentially what that is any non-peak time, so not happy hour or some other time that we're running a crazy special.
When the Solar Rocket Boosters are playing.
Right, when the Solar, yeah, exactly. We'll give you a discount of 50 cents off of any normal pour. So let's say you want to come in and buy a glass of Bowen Luke, it's 50 cents off. Or if you want to buy a glass of Rico Salvin, 50 cents off. And in addition to that, you get one beer a month complimentary of us. We'll pick up the tab on that, and including a happy birthday beer. So 13 beers in 1 year.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice. And $50 value.
It's a $50
value. So you get 13 beers for $50.
And a shirt and a mug. and a fucking pat on the back.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of...
And you had to take the Louisville Beer Survey.
And you might get a pat on the butt, too.
Yeah. Ooh. Nice. Ooh. Yeah. Speaking of, you said that they are going to get a shirt with a Against Grain logo on it. You guys just redid your logo. You want to talk about that?
Well, kind of, didn't necessarily...
Redo it, but just kind of revamp.
A new iteration.
We've got a new iteration. And really, essentially, I'm planning for the future. As of right now, I kind of see that Against the Grain might be a bifurcated brand, so that we might have...
Hold on, is this Roger Baylor?
Yeah.
Wait, let me get my thesaurus. Let me download thesaurus from the Play Store.
Is that rhetoric, Sam? What's
it
rhetoric?
It might have two parts to it. So when I say that, I mean we might have some brands that are ending up in a more pedestrian area, and then we might have some beers that don't belong in there, so... Beers that I would never put in front of, mom and pop at the, hey, I want to get fart beer. You know, they don't want that.
Is that the next
brown note?
Dick beer or something like that, right. You know. We're gonna try to keep some things a little bit classier, and those will go out into the general pedestrian areas. And then the real unclassy shit that everyone likes and that really embodies us will be available in the nerd areas.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me to my next. You guys are known for your great names, and you were like nationally recognized for the names of your beers. What are you laughing about over there?
Just you, dude. It's just funny.
And I'm a fucking professional.
No, because
like you're putting that fucking RTV degree to work.
Because you have a Pearl Snap shirt on and you're wearing a horse shirt underneath it, so you should be at some line dance thing. Scooting boogie.
Are you gonna get my band that I play?
You should get your stand up bass Americana out of the car, dude, and start rocking it in here.
Maybe
right now.
Maybe I will.
At commercial breaks.
Maybe I'll do that. So leave me the fuck alone, John.
At least he's not wearing some like worn out Speedo act that we're going to get into here in just a little bit.
Thank you, Scott.
After a few beers, that's a nice segue to later.
It was three sizes too small, and I was Russian woman the whole time.
Hang on, we're going to talk about their beard shit, and then we're going to talk about you, dude.
Yeah.
This is an intervention here tonight. There's some other people showing up.
On our agenda tonight, John King. So, what are some of the beer names that you guys have come up with that are like too hot for TV?
Can you
tell us some of those?
Yeah. Because
I'm sure there's a fucking ton of them.
I'm going to throw it out there, but we try to listen to them. A lot of times we tell them, fuck off, we're not going to listen to them. But there are times whenever they put their foot down and are like, no, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to name a beer Rytard. And
That was a nix.
Other than that, no. I mean, no. There is nothing off the table. We've been bitched at quite a bit about things. But fuck those people.
I'm still waiting for a Brazilian whack job. The local Brazilian beer.
What?
Jerry and I had an in-depth conversation.
Was he drunk? He was drunk.
He was drunk.
Two beers.
So I'm actually
John King. Yes.
I'm going to pose a question.
John King does the same shit, dude. He's already wasted. Look at him.
I'm going to pose a question on one of.
Let me talk.
On one of my beer geeky websites, I posted the label. Yeah, nerds.
Narrow it down. I'm sure there's probably more than one.
Well, one of them on Facebook. I added Sam to. I think this one. That's 70K.
Nice.
Shut up.
70K is
so I put real. I put the label of Brown Note on there just to let people know that this was coming out. If you guys wanted any, let me know. So it was kind of hit or miss response. Like some people loved it. Some people were like, I would never buy this beer because there's this specific label.
Shit on the ass.
Shit on the ass.
Hashtag shit ass.
So what do you think about that? Because Clown Shoes kind of did a similar thing. They did Tramp Stamp.
Give a single fuck about the people that don't like it. They have to read the label. It says the Brown Note. This ale is so good, it's the last brown ale that you'll ever need. It's so good, you'll shit yourself. we all know what the Brown Note is, or the Disco Bump. That's what it is. It's reference to that. Bump. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's shit in a bottle. They can't handle that, fucking go drink something else. I don't care.
The Disco Bump?
What is that? I've never heard that.
I've got Urban Dictionary on my phone. I'm going to look that up and get back with you on that. Because I think I know what Disco Bump would mean. I'm just saying.
Have a look.
Oh, I'm going to.
It's right next to your thesaurus app.
The cool thing about beer is that there's a very broad culture of people that you can, you can look for your niche, find your niche, and work on your niche. And if you don't want some people in, then you don't have to let them in. And if you know, if they don't want to be in, then fuck off. They can go to somebody else and you know, drink Sophelia or whatever, you know, whatever. The girl beers, they can drink those. So it can be a polar thing.
All right.
I think that's fine.
So there are 8 breweries that I know of that are launching in 2014.
Eight.
Oh. Here?
Yeah.
Here in Louisville?
Here?
Yes.
Okay, here now here I want to say until somebody sends some papers to the TTB or has equipment.
Right.
I mean, Julio at home is brewing beer today and wants to start his own brewery. Yeah. I mean, and I think we all know what we're talking about, given
but
there's a lot of people
want
to do
people
it.
People that have registered a name with an LLC or whatever. So they're a step above.
But that,
Julio,
I have a registered name with yeah.
That's a good starting place.
Yeah, it's $40.
Yeah, right. You got to do is probably like submit some shit and take the name, and it's over.
Right.
But there's a lot to go between doing that and actually filing the papers and having equipment. And I just don't. I'm sorry. I have a hard time taking it serious. These Great Flood, they got their papers sent in. I don't take it seriously.
Who?
Until Great Flood, the guys are going across the street. Yeah. They've submitted their paperwork. They've got equipment. Yeah, it's one barrel.
They're all set.
But, you know, there's just too much of this. Yeah, we want to start a brewery.
Oh, yeah, I hear it all the time.
And granted, there are some that's further along than the other ones. Mm-hmm. But, right. I don't know. It's hard
for me. Do you have any advice to these people that think?
These eight,
like,
the eight brewery
I'm
going to
start a brewery. It sounds fucking fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. First and foremost, you know, get an attorney. Because you need it. Mm-hmm. You need a real attorney. You can't fucking fumble your way around anymore.
Sure.
And, you know, it isn't what it seems. I think at one point people thought that the brewing world would always be this nice, happy place where everyone hugged and shook hands and you know, it was all good and all that. But that's not the case anymore. If you want to make a living with it, you know, you got to have sharp elbows and you got to be willing to throw them around.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just a hobby. Mm-hmm. So if they want to really be serious, get an attorney, you know, do some work, figure out what you're doing. You better bring the money.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't got the money, you're not going to be able to play.
Right.
And then make great beer. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. If you can't make great beer, then fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys have inspired a lot of people because you have grown so quickly. You've been open how long?
We're about 2 years now. Yeah, we actually, that bullshit paperwork filing, we did 4 years ago.
Right.
So we filed an LLC in October of 10, and actually a little before that. No, it was October of 2010. September of 2011, we opened our doors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not easy.
Fuck no. Yeah, no. Right. And then our circumstances,
and because of the red tape that the government puts down. I mean,
the red tape it makes it incredibly difficult. But beyond that, it is an incredibly capital intensive venture. And if you've not got the ability to manage that process, I don't think that you can manage the business on a whole.
Can I interrupt? We're trying to look up disco.
Yeah, I think that's some shit you made up because it's not our Urban Dictionary at all.
The disco bump. No. Look up the brown note.
We know what that is.
Well, we know what that is.
That's from South Park. Carmen.
Yeah. Are you afraid to look it up?
No. Okay. We were looking up midgets earlier. No.
I've wasted half my time on this podcast trying to find
We let everyone know that I have a midget cousin named Gidget.
That I'm thinking about bringing to my house.
Bring her on the podcast.
But she can't drive, and that could be a deal breaker, because I'm looking for someone to haul me around, if you know what I'm saying.
So, Bo and Luke, let's talk about Bo and Luke, how that has just fucking blown up.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, other than it's fucking great beer. Is that the reason? That's the reason.
I think it is. That's a part of it. It is a great beer, a phenomenal beer, and it's also very unique. Of all the popular big imperial stouts on the market, it's probably one of the few that has smoked malt in it.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, there's quite a bit of adjunct in it. And that separates it from other big beers as well, makes it very drinkable. And also, it's approachable immediately.
What made you choose the name Bone Luke? Because that's not along the regular lines of Against the Grain naming.
Well, the initial beer itself was produced as a collaboration with De Molen Brewery. Minnow Oliver came in to town on a call from Laurie and Tyler with the beer store and the Grail.
Mm-hmm.
So Menno came in, and they were looking for a place for him to brew, you know, in the United States. And, you know, we obviously were one of the places that they could do it. So we did it and got in touch with him and noticed that he names all of his beers something and something. And we took that something and something, you know, concept and came up with something. It was going to be
L-U-C.
Beans and Franks, I think.
Oh, was
it? Frank and Beans.
Yeah, so it was
that would have been more along.
It would have been, yeah. It was a coffee beer. The original plan was a coffee beer, but then we're like, you know, fuck that. Everyone's doing a coffee beer.
How much collaboration was it between you and?
Oh, the whole thing. 100% recipe collaboration and also production. You know, sometimes when we do these, they're just recipe collaborations, and then the production is something that we handle ourselves, or vice versa. It's, you know, we come up with a recipe. This is 100%, involved, awesome. And. You know, we have brewed it over there as well. Now, you know, to his credit, the guy makes amazing stouts, but I think he was really unaware of the prowess that Jerry brings to the brewing table. So we were able to flex and get right out there immediately.
So you guys released some bottles over at the Louisville Beer Store yesterday, is that right?
I think they were hoarding them.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So you guys weren't affiliated with
them. No, not necessarily. They didn't ask us or anything like that, which I would have been happy to help support that.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure, you know, we always ask that they get whatever they're looking for because I feel like they've done a good thing for beer here in the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they guess they picked up some bottles and just picked the right time.
Yeah.
So
they sold out in like 20 minutes or something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How many did they have?
Do you know? Three cases, I think it was.
Right on.
I'm looking at you, Sam, but you're like, I have no idea.
No.
I thought it was going on at his place. I was talking to him Friday, and I'm like, dude, I'm coming down here.
I didn't even know I saw it, and I shared it on our Facebook page. Gotcha. But like I said, it's awesome that they would do that, though, and that we are a brand that would get that kind of respect.
Yeah. So where do you guys hoard all of your bone? Like Fort Knox? Or
yes, Fart Knox.
Fart Knox, okay.
Fart Knox
so you guys have a huge warehouse full of this shit. You're just teasing us. It's like some rare.
Realistically, we brew 150 barrels of Bowen Luke a year.
Okay.
And that's 300 kegs. Okay. The reason we do that is because we have a global market to appease. So what we'll do is, you know, we'll brew two batches back to back, break it off into a third stays at home. A third goes to a foreign market, and then another foreign market, and we just try to do that.
How many barrels do you guys do a year? Like, what's your capacity?
You know, it's hard to say. Right now we produce 1,500 barrels. It's just really hard to say. We just started bottling, so I would say our production capacity could be at best 2,000 in our current place, but I would imagine we'll have to. Bump that up a bit. Disco bump that up a bit.
Yeah, dude.
Disco bump.
Yeah, I like how you made that up in here because we could not find it.
He's going to, right when Sam gets home, he's going to go on Urban Dictionary and create a new account and put disco bump in.
Like, I know what I think disco bump is or what that would mean to me, but I don't know. Like,
right, you know. I can't believe you don't know.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, my God. What is that?
Rapid fire.
It worked.
Whoa.
Sam, we are entering rapid fire. Yeah. What is your favorite style of beer and what is the name of it?
Pilsner.
What is wrong with you?
A German.
God, Jesus.
You don't have to carry the theme along.
Oh, I'm carrying it.
it's German Pilsner. Czech Pilsner, actually. And I don't necessarily have a favorite brand, but I'll go with Pilsner Raquel. That's American.
Shut up. This is my rapid fire. What is the best way in two words to describe the Cruz household?
Rapid fire with John King.
You sound like Beavis did when he snorted all that stuff on that airplane or whatever it is he done. Like, no TP for my bunghole, dude.
Caucasian and five.
Five. If you could have any superhero power, what would it be?
X-ray vision, dude. I want to see Nick. I want to see boobs all the time.
But you know what you'd be looking at right now.
When you grew up.
I like titties.
Titties and mirror. When you grew up, who was your favorite wrestler?
Andre the Giant. No doubt about it.
So if you and Jerry were in a tag team against Pierce and Roger Baylor, who would win?
Obviously us. Obviously, yes. Because
Dave Pierce works. He does turbo kickboxing a couple times a week.
He probably fights
and
fair.
Have you read his favorite vegan website, recipe website?
I mean, I saw that he had carrot noodles and
that looked really delicious.
I'm not fucking with that dude.
Not anymore.
All right, you're an IU grad. You went to Bloomington. What was your best college beer?
We had natural ice and we mixed it with pink lemonade. So,
what's your favorite beer from Bloomington Brewing Company? Where you got your start?
Oh God, Ruby Bloom.
Ruby Bloom. What level wizard is Adam Watson?
70.
70?
Yeah.
What level are you?
I don't do that stuff. Nerd
shit, bro. Is that some weird D&D shit?
I got laid when I was 13, bro. I didn't ever do that.
Would you rather participate in Body Pump 4 or Booby Hump 3?
Is that with or without Dave Pierce? Yeah, right.
Obviously, it's going to be Booby Hump. You know, I mean, look at me. Do you see me body pumping anything?
Boobies. Hold on. Susan Cruz just called in.
Rapid fire with John King.
What is your definition of rhetoric?
Rhetoric, I guess, intelligible conversation.
All right. Besides your own beer, what is your favorite beer in Louisville?
Man, that's a real good question. High Life. It's got to be High Life. It's sold in Louisville, right?
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite other beer.
What about local beer?
Local beers? I like, it's a toss-up between Beak's Best from NABC. I like it sometimes. And then also, fuck, man. I like the Tap Rooms APA sometimes. That's it. I mean, I don't like to drink other people's shit. That's why I made my own.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the snideness and condescension that is such an endearing and enduring trait of the local beer community?
End quote. Say it again.
John King's drunk as shit. Did everybody hear that?
No, I'm reading. What are your thoughts on what are your thoughts on the snideness and condescension? What is your whatever that word is.
Condescension. Okay, yeah.
That is such an endearing and enduring trait of the local beer community.
Is this coming from somebody else or you?
This is from John Worth handed me this. And
is this from John Worth?
This is not rapid fire. This is John Worth spooge fire.
I think some of the condescension.
Spooge fire.
That's really good.
Yeah, I like that.
ATG name.
I'll make a little stinger for that next week. Spooge fire with John Worth. Squirt, squirt, squirt.
I think.
He hasn't been out drinking since a month ago podcast. He is wasted. Guys are fucked up, man.
I think some of the condescension is mistaken for that
mistaken.
Mistaken.
Oh yeah, let's talk about condescension.
Doctor. Yeah. I think it's mistaken for that when it's actually just somebody, you know, kind of being a little comical. That there are a lot of guys that are pretty intelligent that work in the brewing community and that's just how they roll, you know. It's jabs, it's dry humor, it's wit. So I think that's part of it. And then the other part of it is maybe, you know, there's too few for too long. It was the thing, you know, that the brewing industry is not filled with wizards and geniuses.
Except for Adam Watson.
Adam Watson is very intelligent and he is also a wizard. but it isn't filled with that. It's filled with people that own small businesses that took a chance. And, you know, the more there are, the more easy it is to be humble because you realize you're not that special, you know?
So I want you to explain a little bit. I've drank a lot of your All Funked Up series, the Wild mm-hmm. series. Just cracked open a Five Roses, mm-hmm. a Rick Astley joint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've all been Rick Rolled one time in our life. Can you explain the beer? It's a...
It is a Wild Kolsch. The grist on that beer is 100%... distiller's malt. Okay? No shit. Came from a distiller that you might guess.
It has a very unique smell to it, right?
In addition to that being all 100% distiller's malt, it was lacto-fermented, so we used lactobacillus, soured it, then dropped it down into... I take that back. It was lacto and Brett fermented 100% down into our wild area. And so that has no, you know, standard ale yeast. It's a wild beer. Then it was aged on red cypress that's used at a distillery that you might guess about.
There's explain a little more, please. Red cypress.
Clarification.
The beer's called Five Roses. Oh, a Rick Astley joint. It has five roses, which is
guys.
Anyways, the
I thought you asked me if I wanted to get high. You said Rick Astley joint. I thought that was some code I hadn't been privy to.
It is a sort of a collaboration.
You want to go get unofficially a disco bomb?
Yeah.
If you got one, yes. On my terms, yes.
So it's essentially just a really light and dry wild beer. That's it. So
now I have a bottle right now. Yeah. Did you put the stamp on this because it's pretty.
That was done in our packaging department.
Take it up with him.
I'm glad I saw that. I'll slap that fucker around.
Yeah. And the upside down label on
fucking
my beer.
Idiot.
What the fuck?
And when I say that fucker, I mean little me. Sammy.
Right on.
It's good. I enjoy it. And I'm not a big Kolsch fan, but it's pretty damn good.
It's actually
tasty. I don't like Kolsch really.
It's a just light sour wild beer. You know. Enjoy, fuckers.
So do we have some questions
from Facebook?
What the fuck? It sounded like somebody farted at the end of that.
With
that?
John.
What is going on right now?
You got a hug.
From Facebook.
Questions from Facebook.
It sounded like, did you hear that fart? Yeah. It was a fart at the end of
it. I put that in for Sam.
Thank you.
Questions from Facebook.
You're full of surprises tonight, John Worth.
Yeah, Scott Ferris wants to know, what's the real story behind...
Did you say Scott Pierce?
No, Scott Ferris.
Oh, I thought you said Scott Pierce.
No. What's the real story behind 35K? Can you please send me some Bo and Luke to Vegas?
No. One, no.
No and no on both of those?
No. The real story behind 35K, it is a beer inspired by a beer that Jerry and I produced in 2006, 5 or 6, that went to the Brain of Brewers competition hosted by Lallemand Laboratories. Lallemand is one of the producers of Nottingham dry ale yeast, the yeast that all homebrewers use.
That's not Lululemon, right? Yeah. Lululemon is a women's athletic sporting company that costs a shitload.
Stick with your just the tip
$60
joke.
For like a pair of shorts.
You're wasted, dude. Stick with your just the tip. I don't know if you've got the memo yet.
It's what all the West End Living in Prospect Wolf Pen Branch girls wear. So
good stuff. Yeah, you can see through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that, John. That's really insightful. Pertinent to what we're talking about. But thanks.
Keep
chugging 13% beer, you drunk bastard. Jesus.
So.
Goddamn.
So wow. We entered the beer. We did three beers out of a four beer competition. You had four categories. We did three. One of which was 35K.
What was it called then?
It was called Fuck Me.
It was called Fuck Me. Is that a Larry Flint contest or
I don't utter something utterly good or utter I don't know something. Anyways,
funbags.com.
Right. This was before Against the Grain. We were holed up under a rock at that time. In any case, entered this competition. Little did we know that we were entering a competition that perhaps we shouldn't have, because it was populated with really big, well-known brewers that have labs and trained and skilled brewers that were way better than us that were under the rock. And
they brew in lab coats.
They fucking brew in lab coats and without coats too. Yeah. They bareback it, if you will.
Do you wear anything under your lab coat when you're at Against the Grain?
I wear sweatpants. We all know that. Anyhow, the judging for the competition came down, and we found out that we won all the categories that we were in, as well as Best in Show. And the prize was $35,000.
Or 35K.
Or 35K, correct. So we took that with us, that beer concept, and then our ability to make it. And also our incredible happiness about the bonus we got for that beer. So
that leads us
I'm sure you were fairly compensated for that.
Incredible.
Well, David Pierce,
as you can see.
Know.
Yes.
Well, David Pierce asked the hard questions. How much of the $35K prize were you and Jerry paid for brewing the winning stout?
All of it that mattered is what I could say, because it was such a big payment that look what we got. Look what we were able to finance.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Nice.
So Ricky Burdett, I'm moving on. Ricky Burdett wants to know, what is your dream collaboration brewer? Also Red Vines or Twizzlers?
Okay. So it dream collaboration, two of them actually. One would be with a big brewer, Anheuser-Busch. You know, I would love to go. Really? Yeah, with their brewmasters. I'd like to say, hey, what can be done on a big scale? What do you dream of doing? Mm-hmm. And then try to produce it at our place or you know, one of their places. That would be really cool, because we're talking about
it's
people.
Not a very
that have,
popular answer.
I don't care. No, I don't give a fuck.
No, I know you don't, and that's why
someone's going to hate it.
The reason being is these guys have, you know, they have no time to make those kind of beers, so I'm sure they dream about doing things.
Sure.
And then on top of that, they're brilliant. You know, they're doing things that some of us only ever dream to do.
Well, when you're brewing on a commercial packaging, sending six packs and kegs on a regular scale to stores, you don't have time to deviate.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's the way it is at BBC. I mean, it's six packs and kegs that are on a regular schedule that are going out to Kroger, liquor stores, and bars and restaurants, and they would love to do a triple IPA.
That's right, and that's why you want that person that's hungry to do something exciting.
Right.
Then the other side is that when I was over in the Nordic countries, I got to try a beer by an Asian guy that brews in Finland. And the guy doesn't really have a brewery, but his shit was amazing. And he's kind of known underground as Takashi. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, it would be awesome to meet someone like that or actually meet that dude and make beer with Takashi.
So now the real question, Red Vines or Twizzlers?
I don't, a Twizzler, fucking the black Twizzlers. Oh, black. Definitely black.
Wow.
Gotta
really?
Be black. Yep.
Yeah.
Once you go black,
what would their father say?
Yeah, what would their father say?
Okay.
So, edit.
Wendy Wonder wants to know, beer in the shower, yes or no? And do you have any hangover cures?
I don't. Yeah, sure, beer in the shower. Fuck yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, I don't.
Do you do that on a regular basis?
No, of course I don't. Yeah. I have kids.
Right, yeah.
You mean you don't light some candles and go in and open a bottle of Beau Luke and sit in there for a couple hours?
I just got back just from Fort Knox.
Just having
boy,
some me time.
My dog's tired.
When I was in the fraternity, I fucked in the shower. I threw up in the shower.
Run a batch off by hand in the shower.
what fraternity were you in?
So, I mean, Delta Chi when I was at IU. So that, I mean, sure, I drank a beer in the shower.
I used to drink
awesome.
Beer in the shower before fraternity parties every
Thursday.
Yeah,
I mean,
night,
I was drunk, perpetually drunk through college. So
I drank Founders Porter in the shower before I came up here. It's all because of you, Wendy. I just got to let you know.
Yeah.
Hangover cure, the orange drink from McDonald's.
Really?
The big one. That's it. That and some, like, fucking me time. Can you just leave me alone? You know?
Yeah, in the shower, in the bathtub for a couple hours and light some candles. Have some whales.
John Ritter wants to know, what are the best donuts in Louisville?
New Albany, and it's the Honey Pot or something like that. The Honey Glaze.
The Honey Pot. Honey.
Is that the name of the bakery?
Yeah, it's over off of State Street. It's Honey something. Yeah. Pierce knows. His old Pierce knows.
Yeah. Old Pierce. He will not be posting their menu online.
He will not.
Or favorite
in.
Recipes from that place. Yeah.
The kale donuts are delicious. Speaking of David Pierce, he wants to know, boxers or briefs?
Who cares?
Why?
Neither.
I think he says nothing, Pierce.
Floss.
So a G-string. Though.
Manti.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
So Roger Baylor says, I could, but I won't. But then, like 5 hours later, he says, what the hell. These days, craft brewing is hardly monolithic, nor should it be. There are subcultures. Which one of these do you...
Slow down.
Let me get my Urban Dictionary out and look that up.
There are subcultures. Which one of these do you occupy? Homebrewer / DIY culture...
What's DIY?
Is that a jeans brand?
Do it yourself.
Okay. Right on.
Come on. Trader swapper culture. Ratings.
Is that like a swingers, like yeah, when he says so. Swappers?
Yeah, I think that's what it means. Ratings slash priestly culture. Localist slash community culture, which I think Roger's part of, or other.
Well, I would say that I personally and a quarter of my company at the very least occupy all of those.
Yeah.
As I have been a home brewer and a DIY guy, had to start somewhere. You'll throw up.
Yeah, that's what I was
dude, he's like wasted. Did you not see him creeping through there? Jesus, and the door's open.
Yeah.
Trader, swapper, sure. I'll trade a beer for another beer. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to go crazy for it, but I'll do it.
But you personally, you are.
Oh, fuck yeah, I'll trade, whatever. Yeah, yeah. What's the other one? What's that say?
Homebrewer, DIY, trader, yes. Swapper, ratings, priestly,
yes,
localist.
Yes, ratings, yes, yes, absolutely. Because that shit matters. Those are people drinking beer that care enough to get on and say whether they like it or not.
Right.
You know, and for every one of them, there are 10 or 100 that feel the same way or differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a good gauge or way to measure what's going on.
Just
and for us, yeah, for us, we're a global product. Not global in the sense that we're every single place, but we're all over the globe, and it's good to know what's going on.
Jesus Christ.
So, Scott, you've got something to say about the ratings thing. Like, once there's, you know, 500
I mean, I'm just sitting over here watching him try to, like, crawl into his fucking chair.
Back into his
yeah,
bowl.
I'm like, but my thing with the whole ratings is what you're talking about is if somebody's, like, if 50 people have rated it, like, mm-hmm. If you're like sitting down to type in, like, I know if you're 375 or 500.
Not enough if you're sending your beer to 20 different countries.
Right, yeah. Right. Which I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
But what I'm saying about it, though, is like, I don't know what more you can say about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been broken down. It's been.
As a consumer, you probably wouldn't gain as much out of it. But for us, we do because.
You're selling the beer, and you've got a million ratings on the beer. I get that.
But you've got to look at those ratings realistically. You know, you said 50. All right. I'm sorry, but 50.
Just an example.
50 is outliers for us. 100, there could be a lot of outliers. The more ratings that we get that are falling within a certain range, then the closer we are to this kind of general consensus about what our beer is. And we need that because how do we improve? How do we improve if we just have two people saying they like it or –
But
or for
you,
that matter,
are you gonna like get on Rate Beer and read through 500
I have.
Ratings or 1,000 ratings of it?
I have. I've gone
I guess
on
what I'm saying is like what can like be said out of like 100 or 150 or I just said 50 for example what can be said that's not, and that's his whole point like pulling me into this.
Yeah,
like,
I know. I heard that, and my response is again, it goes back to pinpointing things that we want to correct or make better. Or amplify, you know, there may be parts of a beer that are really popular that we can amplify and really, really get people to enjoy, or a trend that we can learn about. So,
and I guess and my whole thing comes from this is if the dude's listening to, he's going to who I'm talking about. I went to Asheville with a guy back in the winter, and some other people. I didn't go to Asheville with a guy,
one dude.
But anyway, everywhere we went, he's pulling out his notebook, he's writing down everything. I'm just sitting there going,
tickers,
will you stop? Will you put it up?
Tickers.
And then like he gets up we were down there for 4 days. He gets up, he goes to the Continental breakfast in the hotel, and he's doing his ratings. and then one day he was sitting in the room, and I woke up, and I'm just like, dude. Do you realize this beer's been rated like 8,000 times? Nobody cares
about the 8,000 first rating.
That's where this whole conversation came from.
The thing is it's this is the cool part is I don't do that shit either.
I don't
fucking want to rate a beer. I don't want to do it. I don't take notes. I don't. For me, it's the experience. I like to enjoy beer in the moment and think about what, you know, when I drink it again, it reminds me of a place I was, what was going on, you know.
And I'm the same way with it. Like last weekend, we did a beer festival in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been going through on my Untappd app that I don't have on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and you know, been you know, punching in all kinds of shit. That it was a ridiculous lineup. It's beer, and it was a great time, and it was the best beer fest lineup ever.
Instead, you had your Urban Dictionary app out,
trying to find someone there with a disco bump to get me through the day, if you know what I'm saying.
But that's
just kind of my whole thing on it, and that's kind of how the whole conversation started.
That's why it works for guys like you and I, because we don't have to do it. Other people will do it for us.
I understand.
And that's why, I mean, I do follow it because I own a brewery. You know, I have to keep my thumb on things, and that's why I like it.
You guys do a great job on social media.
What do you like to keep your thumb on?
Things.
The top three things you like to keep your thumb on.
Okay. Local and community cult. Hold on.
You're not done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is a 15-part question. Right. He's only 7.5 of the way through.
Local and community. I have a brewery located in Louisville, Kentucky. We pay an immense amount of money to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We support a large number of Louisville, Kentucky businesses. We are a very local and community-oriented business.
I've got to piss if everyone will excuse me for
We sell 60% of the production of our beer here in Louisville. Why not 100%? Because Louisville doesn't buy 100%. If they did buy 100%, believe me, I'd be happy to sell it here.
Right,
you know,
right?
So we sell it all as much as we can here. But that being said, I'm not so naive to think that it's only about here. Sure. You know, we sell beer all over the world because it matters to be all over the world. So to answer your question, Roger, I am all of it.
Nice. Good.
I like to think that I move the culture.
So what's the deal with the new Albanian themed beers, Bonfire of the Daiquiris and all that shit? I think it's funny.
As a company, we have an affinity for that place. We love the brand that they have, the beers that they produce. And really the people that work there are really cool. You know, we're actually pretty good friends. What we're looking for is them to dig back. It's really
They're not going to.
They might. Yeah. Let's go.
I think they're working on something.
They're working on something. Yeah.
What fucking took them so long?
I know, right. Yeah. That's what
it's really more about fun. And
we asked Roger that question.
I know. He's not that cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Sigh.
Next.
So the Bowen Luke is getting...
Tap Bo's ass.
I was going to ask a question. Can you explain a little bit more? Because I know we talked about a little bit in the podcast when we were at the Beer Fest about the beers coming from Baltimore.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. We are at a point where our business is producing about all we can in one spot and have a lot of... A lot of opportunities.
Chainsaw over there, John.
This what keeps it fresh.
That's some good work done on that wax. Yeah. You got to take pride in that. I don't know if you did that or you did good work on that, dude.
That wax.
You made it impossible for anyone to get into within 30 minutes.
That's why it's so rare, because it takes people a fucking 6 months to open the goddamn thing.
We're going to really vacuum after this.
Let me go home and get my Dyson.
What we've got is we've got a situation where we can't produce enough beer to sate the markets that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you guys, Against the Grain was never designed or thought of with the idea of it being a small, tiny company that it was a mom and pop joint. You know, we had aspirations that we would be able to sustain, you know, not only our own livelihoods, but also many livelihoods here in Louisville and the surrounding areas. And in order to do that, we've got to be a business that's big enough to produce the revenue for that.
Sure.
That being said, you know, we've got to produce more beer, and we've got to find places that can produce it for us right now, because we don't have another brewery. Mm-hmm. We have a friend in Baltimore. Hold on. Let me get a drink of beer here.
Yeah, please do. Brew dog.
Cleanse your palate with some champagne of beers for the Bowen Luke.
Right. That's what I'm doing.
Get ready. Get ready. It's coming.
Mm. That's what she said.
Santa came early.
That being said, we chose Pub Dog Brewery in Baltimore, Maryland, namely because of the guys that operate it. George Humbert and Brian Burton are pretty well-known brewers around. They're known for being good, and they do that. This is the kind of thing they do. They produced other well-known brands out in the world right now. Mm-hmm. So we asked them if they would be able to produce four different brands for us. That's Rico Salvine, Citra Ass Down, The Brown Note, and 35K. Nice. Those will go into 22-ounce formats and get sent out throughout the U.S. And then in addition to that, we'll do a 12-ounce format that will get sent to Kentucky. So you guys get the little beers.
So we get some 12-ounce Bowen Lukes.
Possibly, but those won't be brewed in Baltimore.
Okay.
So are we talking 4-packs or 6-packs?
I think I can make it work with 4-packs. Bowen Luke would definitely be a 4-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Ride Chicken's another brand that might go to that 12-ounce bottle as well.
Nice. That's with awesome. Feathers or without?
Fuck the feathers, man. Yeah. We're going to keep doing it on the big bottles. But
how did that? You got a lot of pushback from that, right?
No.
Liquor store owners?
I mean, I got people that were like...
Did you have PETA protesting across the street? I mean, like...
Those were all humanely gathered feathers. We went out and grabbed chickens and threw them in front of the
traffic. Those were local feathers, weren't they? From local, different yes. chicken houses around the Highlands and Germantown.
They were local. Not so much pushback as like, wow, you did that. And, you know, I wouldn't... frankly, again, let me go back to my standard answer is I don't give a fuck.
Bo and Luke, cheers. This is fucking great beer, man.
That's tasting great, sure, man.
Yeehaw, fuckers.
So speaking of Bo and Luke, what has been the response from the variants? Have you heard a lot from that? Of like people are like, I love that.
I've heard some grumbles that, you know, the peanut butter wasn't peanut buttery enough.
I thought the peanut butter was fucking awesome, and I was hoping that's what that bottle was.
Peanut butter was my favorite kind. I thought it was all. I've drank every one but the pepper, and peanut butter was my favorite.
The pepper one, it's pepper, you know. Then
people love it or hate it.
Yeah, that's pepper. I mean,
I would love it.
And then I also have gotten the tea was too weird for people, but that was my favorite, the Lapsang Soochong one. That was my favorite, but I like smoky shit. So
I'm not a big smoky. It was, I mean,
burnt hot dog.
That's what it was.
We were sitting at the tap room, me and John and a couple other people, and he brought it up there. And that was what a friend of ours said.
It's like burned hot dog. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I like smoked beers. I could have drank
it.
Beers.
I could have drank. I mean, I would have drank the whole bottle just because it was.
They were. Those variants were chosen with the intention to do something completely different, and that's why
I thought the peanut butter was fucking awesome. It was amazing. It was
both good on that.
So, are you looking to do Bowen Luke with a different set of variants in like the upcoming year?
Just about every time, yes.
Nice. Okay, so is this going to be like a yearly thing?
We'll do annual variants. We'll do more next year. We'll probably double it. And it's just a one-time-a-year thing.
So kind of same exact type of format with Louisville getting the...
Yeah.
Awesome.
So as far as aging Bo and Luke, you say open them now, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Or keep them for... It's a big fucking... It's 14% or 13 to 14%.
It ain't going nowhere.
No, it's fine. I mean, you can sit on it and it'll be a fine beer. The smoke will subside.
Don't really sit on it, Scott.
I'm not. Don't worry. I took mine to Boombas and drank it on kegs the next day. I got rid of mine.
Because of the adjunct in it, it's drinkable now. Sure. It doesn't have to be hoarded away for anything. Mm-hmm.
So when you guys start this distribution or start brewing in Baltimore, like what, like in America, like your beer's going across the country? Like where do you?
38 states.
38 states.
Mm-hmm.
Running, so probably Idaho is getting left out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
guys in Idaho, all my boys out there.
I actually have a good friend that owns a beer place in Idaho.
It's a
what's it called? Potato brewing or something.
Essentially, the states that are hard to reach will suffer. Potatoes. So Alaska and Hawaii will suffer. And then in addition to that, the ones that have issues with alcohol or with imported beers,
right,
because
on. Sort of like a Utah.
I guess, yeah. I don't know their shit.
Utah's weird. We talked about them on the podcast.
Mormons, magic underpants.
We operate through 12% imports, and so the beers will go primarily throughout the U.S. primarily through them.
So 12%'s a national distributor.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you could change anything about the Louisville beer scene, what would it be?
God, I wish we had more old breweries. More that had longevity and not just a few. Like I said earlier, you know, you brought up the snide and condescending attitudes. I think that stems from there just being, you know, one or two players in the game and not having any competition and having a false sense of security and false sense of confidence. So with that, I think if we had more, we would have a more developed community here. And that's really what we're trying to do, is to promote that community of guys that, that can fucking hang, you know, mm-hmm. that can do it for a long time.
And since you've been at, you know, you started, you were at BBC, mm-hmm. and then now you're at, you know, Against the Grain. It, things have changed in the last...
God, yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, 4 years. How would you describe, I mean, is it a change for the better? I mean, did you ever think it would be like this? Because, you know, I kind of started when you were at BBC, and then things have just kind of taken off from there, so...
I knew, and the reason we acted the way we did, and it was more of a we thing, but we knew that if we didn't do what we did when we did, that someone would beat us to it. And it was timing. That was a huge thing. So we jumped out in the front immediately because we knew that it was time and that someone else was going to do it. Now I think we would benefit from a lot of other people coming in and trying their hand and you know, having some successes. And frankly, it'd be nice to see some failures. You know, to
there are 9 breweries coming yeah. on board. Well, in we need 2014.
It's going to have to happen.
That means 4 will probably open or 3.5.
Yeah, well, and some of them will fail. It's just like any restaurant is they're going to open up and they're going to have mediocre shit beer and they're going to fail.
No, I mean, and hey, you know, we're new. We're still new. 2 years.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
nothing.
You've been in 2 years. 2 years isn't anything. That's, but as far as this market though, or. Whatever, as far as being in the game, you're old timers in this market.
Yeah, you know? And the thing that it comes down to also is that small. I go back to the small business thing. Is you've got to be prepared to run a small business successfully and wisely. And I think that's a big part of it. You know, we are a business that strive to be a business and not a brewery where people come in and you know, oh, fuck yeah, beer's great. Gonna smoke some weed here. Going to get a bunch of free beer.
There's anything wrong with that.
Not right. You know, we're not one of those places
free
that you
beer
can
is
come
good.
And
you're right, Scott.
Yeah. Come and run the business owner in the ground. We're in this to make money and to be sure. a profitable business and grow the Louisville beer scene. And I think there's going to have to be that being the standard and not just, I think I'll have a brewery because it's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So we're over an hour, but I would like to ask, you run a podcast, or
I don't run a podcast. Okay. I am a contributor.
Contributor, okay.
A contributor. Who knew that LouisvilleBeer.com had as many contributors? I mean, it's great to be up on the level of some of those folks. Is all I'm saying.
I'm a contributor on a podcast.
Especially that dude that's driving a mobile home around America. That I don't even. I was totally surprised that he did anything for LouisvilleBeer.com.
He does? You know who you are.
Bryce does? Well, I don't even have a goddamn picture on there. I'm a little pissed about that.
There was one. Some reason it screwed up. It was the back of a running jersey.
It was the back of your head, dude.
Logo on the back of your running
in my
lap. Jersey.
There was a picture of me on there, too?
It has to do with your WordPress.com settings, fucker. Not me.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
I think you should fight. Fuck it.
Yeah. Well, considering he's wearing a pearl snap button shirt, I think I'd win.
I don't know, dude. That makes him a lot more tougher than you, dude. You're running around, your stick's outdone itself.
Yeah,
he's going to kick your ass.
This. We never hit the John King.
It's not coming
portion.
Through. So, what about like the John King
of his stick
that he's jumped the shark?
Yes, I do.
Does any? Okay, there's you can't vote. There's 3 of us
under
in here.
My host.
We
in
all
Georgia.
Think we all think you've jumped the shark.
I also write
what?
For a magazine.
Oh, you do.
Sam, shut up a minute.
No, okay.
What have I jumped the shark on?
This whole fucking Speedo costume outfit stuff. Dude, you're fucking 40 years old now.
I've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for years.
Exactly.
He does run
that. You just made the point. Exactly. Do you know what? Get your Urban Dictionary out and look up jump the shark. And you'll see what I'm talking about here. We can do a poll on LouisvilleBeer.com.
Well,
a poll.
In my Speedo, you can't do a poll because it's usually cold.
Do this poll, but... So, Sam, back to your other podcast,
yeah,
John.
I just am a contributor, guest host fairly often on Under My Host by Corey Page, and you can look it up on iTunes.
What's the podcast about?
It's craft beverages, so okay. It's not just beer. So it's wine, it's liquor, it's...
soda?
No.
High C? Soda.
No,
some craft,
really
craft cheese, craft cheese.
Rarely we talk about that other shit. No, it's basically spirits, wine, and beer. And you know, I'm very fortunate because I get to interact with a lot of the big players in the beer world or just craft beverage world altogether.
So and then, you do this remotely, like through Skype?
Yeah, I do it through my phone.
Yeah. Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
I got a question before you go on. Mm-hmm. Is this the first Bo and Luke bottles, or is this the most recent?
Most recent.
Yeah, we opened one up, like I said, at the Boom Boss, and it was way more smoky.
Yeah, yeah.
Than this one, and that's what made me think. You know, it's not nearly as smoky as the other one. I know, like, you know, with the age in the bottle, does it bring on?
Smoke,
because the one I opened at Boom Boss was ridiculously smoky.
You would know
smoky.
Better than I. Right. I mean,
now I've had the two. I mean, it is the other one was way more smoky.
We can't. I can't.
They were great.
I can't say because we've been at it for 2 years. Oh. So I mean, I don't know. As far as that same podcast, there's also a web magazine called Craft by Under My Host, and I do a brewer Q&A on that.
Nice.
And get to interview brewers. My most recent one was Mikkel of Mikkeller, mm-hmm. Mikkel Borg Burgo, or however the fuck you say his name. I still haven't got it. So
he probably mispronounces your name, so it's all right.
Yeah, he's some.
Cruz.
Now it's really cool because I get to interact with a lot of the big players. So
yeah,
it's
that's
neat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you know you were a brewer. Do you miss brewing at all? Because you're not.
I always say I used to have a cool job.
Yeah,
but my job now is way fucking cooler.
Really? Nice.
Because I know Watson used to brew as well, and now he does the other shit.
Actually, he brews a lot. He does a majority
there,
of our brewing.
He's up in the brewery. Yeah.
He's a majority. Of our brewing, he does. So Jerry's kind of taken on the manager of the brewing operations. I've taken on the managing of our sales, so to speak.
And marketing.
And marketing, yeah. And Andrew manages the restaurant. Adam is a brewer. He eventually will probably be our brewmaster.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Always a pleasure.
It's pleasured me as well.
Yeah. It was relatively tame.
I expected
more.
You got the questions. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to see it? I'll put it out. I'll get it out. Like,
I'm going to go ahead and get a cab on home since I rode with you. If you're going to pull it on out, or I'll walk one way or the other.
I mean,
if you want to get a Pearl Snap shirt on the floor, you can do it right now.
Go ahead. I'm your host, John Wirth, with the Louisville Beer Podcast.
John King.
And we're going to have that intervention of John King coming soon with a bunch of his clothes.
Out. Thanks.